Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studios. We're answering your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember that all this month we're offering Renaissance, written by Oz Guinness. He is a prophetic voice to our generation. The subtitle of the book, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times. If there's ever been a greater need for Renaissance than now, I most certainly do not know about it. A church that has beaten back Hitler's master race and Stalin's would-be master class now stands impotent before titanic menaces, the first of which is the master faith of Islamicism, the second, the unrelenting narrative of liberalism, which in the end seems to be a totalitarian philosophy that screams, do it our way or else. And that under the guise of liberal tolerance. But the third is a self-destructive chaos of lifestyles that are quite literally sucking the air out of our cultural balloons. Again, if there was ever a need for Renaissance, that need is now. This is our Augustinian moment, our Daniel moment. And it's why we're asking you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. When you support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute all this month, I'd be pleased to send you Renaissance. Again, the subtitle, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times. And let not that phrase just pass over you. The power of the gospel is the dunamis of God. It is the ultimate power. And that's why when Paul talks about the ploys of Satan, he precedes his comments by talking about the power of God to protect. Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Get your copy in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me, at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. First up today, Lee, listening in Red Bank, New Jersey, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks. My question is that there are certain mainline denominations that are accepting homosexuality, the whole gay, lesbian agenda, as acceptable. Your thoughts on this, and how does this all fit in with what Scripture has to say about end times and as far as culture is concerned?
Well, my concern is primarily what it says about the inactivity of Christians and the reality that the world is willing to do more for a lie than Christians are willing to do for the truth. The reason that cultures corrode and devolve is not because pagans are exercising their job description. What else would they do? The reason is Christians are not being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And so the whole issue becomes, are you going to be salt? Are you going to be light? Are you going to be an ambassador? Or are you going to be a secret agent who's never blown their cover before the unregenerate world? I cannot tell you about the end of time. Only God knows that. And we have nary a clue in the whole of Scripture when the end will come. But what we are exhorted to do is to be faithful and fruitful, to work while there is yet day. And I think that's the resounding call to the church. It is to awaken from our slumber and to do for the truth what cults are willing to do for a lie. So I can't tell you what portends the end. I can tell you this, that the minute you start flooding the market with counterfeit currency, all currency is devalued, and we must be able to give an answer with respect to same-sex sexuality, an answer with gentleness and with respect. The reason being is this is not a trifling issue. If you think about the foundation of all of civilization, it's life. As Francis Schaeffer made clear, there is no more foundational issue than that. We were asleep at the switch in 1973. And since then, since Roe v. Wade, 57 million abortions in America alone. But on that foundation are major building blocks, the principal building block of which is the issue of marriage. That is a foundational building block. And therefore, our responsibility is not to curse the darkness, but to become those who can clearly articulate a message and do it in such a way that it reaches as opposed to repels. I am quite frankly fed up with people that are trafficking in fear, in sensationalism, in sophistry, and in script torture to predict the time of the end. I can tell you with complete certainty that they have been wrong 100% of the time, and they know not when Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time. The Bible simply does not tell us. Again, what it tells us is to be faithful. We may suffer for a short time, but we have an eternal vindication because, as Revelation makes so plain, there will be a time when there's a new heaven and a new earth. And when God Himself will live with us, we will be His people and He will be our God. And we work for that day. We look forward to that day, but we cannot predict that day. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ron, St. Louis, Missouri. Ron is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Ron.
How you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
A quick question. I've been hearing a lot of preaching that we as Christians should be real supportive of Israel because they're God's chosen people, whether they believe in the Messiah or not, or whether they believe in Jesus Christ or not, we need to be supportive of them. And I wanted to, it just didn't make me feel right when I heard that, because I know that some of them don't even believe in Jesus, but I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, I think what's important is that we're always on the side of truth and righteousness and justice. And so I have never been pro-Palestinian, I've been pro-peace, I've never been pro-Jew, I've been pro-justice. And I think that's what we must be. As Christians, we need to be those that become a leavening force in whatever culture God places us. And now because of mass media and because of technology, we have the opportunity to literally reach around the world. But I think it's really important for Christians to recognize that God is not a racist. He doesn't choose people based on their genealogy. He doesn't choose people based on their birth mother. You're a son or a daughter of Abraham if you are found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think that this is a message that, of course, Peter understood very clearly when he didn't want to go at first to see Cornelius, and God had to show him that he was not to call unclean what God had designated as clean. And it was after a vision of clean and unclean food that Peter finally said, now I understand that God does not show favoritism. And if you look at both testaments, you'll see that true Israel is never delineated on the basis of race or genealogy or of ethnicity. Ruth, she was a Moabite. The Moabites were the arch enemy of Israel, and yet she is the lineage of Jesus Christ. So what we have in both testaments is one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross and then illustrated by the Apostle Paul by means of a cultivated olive tree. The mystery of the gospel ultimately is that Jew and Gentile are one. So the whole idea that we're longing or looking for inhabitants of a new Jewish theocracy is ill-founded. Jesus instructed his disciples to leave Jerusalem and never again entertain the notion of establishing a Jewish theocracy, because the meek would inherit the earth. So I think the modern propensity within Christianity to herd Jews into the Holy Land so that, as Tim LaHaye puts it, Antichrist can exact his final solution on the Jewish problem, I think that's an ill-founded concept. The notion that we're going to get raptured and they're going to get butchered has no place, in my estimation, in the Christian ethic. And I've written about this in a couple of places. In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, there's an article titled "Left Behind from Root to Ripened Fruit." But I've also written about this in some detail in my book, The Apocalypse Code: Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. And also wanted to know the purpose of the church, biblical purpose of the church. And when I say church, I'm meaning the four walls, buildings.
Well, I think it is true that we have to look at the church in various ways. On the one hand, we look at the church universal, and that is people from every epoch of time that have ever inhabited the earth. In the other sense, we think about the church gathered in communities. And in that sense, the purpose of the church that you ask about is to worship God through prayer, praise, and through the proclamation of the word. It is to experience oneness, which is the inverse of bouncing off one another like marbles in an empty cathedral. We need to be knit together in the bonds of love, in very much the way that is delineated by Paul in Romans chapter 12, so that the world looks at the church and says, ah, see how they love one another, and the love of Christ constrains them to come. And then the church has the purpose of equipping God's people, which is to say that we must be equipped within the context of the church to communicate what we believe, which is the gospel, why we believe, in other words, reasons for faith that become springboards for communicating the gospel, and then who we believe, because virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. I've written about this in various places. One of the principal places that I've written about this is in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, where I lay out the purpose and the provision of the church. It's the God-ordained means through which we worship God, have oneness or fellowship with one another, through which the means of grace is dispensed to the body of Christ, and through which we're equipped to go out and impact a lost and searching world. Got to leave it at that. We're coming close to our station break, but I do want to mention once again the opportunity for all of you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, a brand new edition cover story, Left Behind from Root to Ripened Fruit. But there's so much more. For example, there's a great article on Cosmos. It has been, ladies and gentlemen, rebooted. Remember Carl Sagan? He said the cosmos is all there is, all there ever will be. And now we have the New Cosmos series saying that religion is a science stopper, making a false dichotomy between science and faith, Christian Research Journal, available again for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. If you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, give you a free subscription. If you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd also be pleased to autograph one of my books, personalize it to you, a family member, or a friend. And all this month, for those who give a gift to the ministry, do remember the book Renaissance. We've been talking about it all month. The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, written by a prophetic voice to our generation. It is quite simply must reading. Again, available for your gift. Check it out. You can get it in a safe, secure fashion on the web for your gift at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Growing numbers of people are persuaded that the best days of the Christian faith are behind us and that our descent into a new dark age is gaining momentum. Is there a genuine hope for societal redemption and renewal in the midst of these troubling times? In his new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness declares a resounding yes. When the gospel is lived out in practice, it is the most powerful force in history, both for individuals and for entire societies. The Christian faith has transformed entire cultures and civilizations, and Christians may yet change the world again if we answer the call to a new Christian Renaissance. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will return in a moment. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Western cultural elites have disregarded God for more than two centuries, but now, in the early 21st century, Dr. Oz Guinness concludes that their movement from disregard to desecration to decadence is going mainstream, and the United States is only the lead society among those close to the tipping point. Is there genuine hope for societal redemption in the midst of growing decadence? In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness declares a resounding yes. When the gospel is lived out in practice, it is the most powerful force in history, both for individuals and for entire societies. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. www.bibleanswerman.org. Most serious students of world history would identify the Renaissance as a key cultural movement that spanned the period from the 14th to the 17th century. Many astute observers of the West today would concur that a sweeping Renaissance is exactly what is needed now. In his new book, Renaissance: The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Oz Guinness surveys the great challenges facing the West today and why a Renaissance is urgently needed. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Chris. He's listening in Newport News, Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank. I wanted to ask you this. Why did we take the Apocrypha out of the Bible? I understand that it actually came over and with the Pilgrims in the Geneva Bible.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think the principal reason for it is there has been a fairly virulent debate about the apocryphal books. And the reason that people debate this is a recognition that Jesus and the apostles never quoted from the Apocrypha. You look at the church fathers like Athanasius and Origen and Jerome, they all opposed the Apocrypha. But even Augustine, who accepted the Apocrypha, recognized that the Jews did not accept these books as part of the canon. And as a result of this, there has been a debate. I like what the Eastern Orthodox do. They include the Apocrypha, but they put it on a second footing. I personally, by the way, have greatly benefited by reading the Apocrypha, particularly as related to Maccabees. In my book, Has God Spoken?, I quote prolifically from Maccabees because in Maccabees, you see the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecies. Daniel makes the prophecies in the 6th century before Christ. The fulfillment comes in the 2nd century, and that's cashed out in graphic detail in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Maccabees.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much. Appreciate your ministry, and may God bless it.
Thank you very much, Chris. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David. He's listening in Chino, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
My question for you today, Hank, is the Bible says that no human being has ever saw the face of God and lived or can't live, but Adam before the fall, do you think it was possible for him to have seen God face to face?
Well, certainly, and it will be possible for us to experience God in his essence in the restoration. So prior to the fall, the imago Dei in humanity, or the image of God in humanity, was not torn and tattered, and therefore we could experience God in his essence. And when that imago Dei is fully restored, we will again be able to experience God in his essence. Now, that is not to say in any way that we will fully comprehend God. One of the truths of historic Christianity is that in the resurrection, in the new heaven and the new earth, we will not be omniscient, and therefore we will learn and grow and develop, albeit without error, as forever we explore not only God's created handiwork, but the essence of God himself. So when Exodus 33 says that no one can see God and live, what we are apprehending there is that no man can see God as a mortal and live. We will, however, see God in the life to come. The climax of the believer's experience will be to see God, or to experience God, as it were, face to face, a way of saying to know him in his essence.
Okay. I had a personal question. I don't know if I should ask this or not, but Hank, you don't have an accent. My mother came over here from Holland in 1946, and she never lost her accent. I don't detect one in your voice.
Well, I grew up speaking Dutch, and now I speak English. But when I go back to Holland, I pick up the language pretty quickly again. But I've never lost my ability to speak Dutch. Why I don't have an accent, I do not know. My mother still has a little bit of a Dutch brogue, but I haven't picked it up.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I enjoy your program. Thank you so much for answering my question, sir.
Goeiedag. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Dan. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
How are you?
My question is how does a person know or realize when they are saved?
Well, I mean, the Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have everlasting life, which is to say that everlasting life is not based on a feeling. It is based on a promise, which is to say, whoever hears my word and receives him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life eternal. So our everlasting life is based on the promise of God. If we realize that we are sinners, if we repent of our sin, if we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then we have, by virtue of that, everlasting life. And those that receive everlasting life are baptized in response to the gospel message. And when they're baptized, they are signifying that they're being buried to their old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And what that means is that we now experience the life of the resurrected Christ. Which is to say, as Peter put it, we now are partakers of the divine nature. And since God works through means, we must embrace life practices or living disciplines so that the life of Christ might be manifest in us. It's one thing to want the life of Christ. It is another thing to discipline yourself so that you can experience Christ by getting into his word and getting his word into you, by developing intimacy with the lover of your soul through prayer, through what Dallas Willard talked about as the spirit of the disciplines, or I like to refer to as life practices or living disciplines.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Amarel. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. In Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Yeah, it's pretty close. My name's Amarel. So
Amarel.
Thanks for taking my call. I recently bought a package of books from you, and yeah, they are kind of they're influential right now for me. I guess I kind of I grew up in a heavy sort of dispensationalist environment, and also just I guess that futurist view of the Book of Revelation and stuff like that. And there is a couple things that really challenge my dispensationalism. Maybe after my question, I can share that if you let me. But my question is this, because I guess as I'm sort of examining the foundations of a lot of things that I believe about the Bible, I'm just wondering, do you think it's possible that in the Book of Revelation that this, the Antichrist, the Lost One, and all this type of thing might, that there might be a dual fulfillment, that it was Nero in the first century, but that there still might be some future dictator that forces us all to conform to him and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't hold to double fulfillment. I think that is an ill-founded concept, and I can cash that out for you in a moment. But let me say that certainly, while the Bible doesn't use the word Antichrist, it talks about a beast. When John describes Antichrist, he's describing any individual or any institution that sets itself up against Christ, that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. So Antichrist is something that permeates all of history. Anyone who is against Christ is, in fact, by definition, antichrist. So a cult that denies the essentials of the historic Christian faith, that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, is by definition, therefore, antichrist. So it can be individuals and institutions in the present, but that is not in the present. But that is not to say that this is part and parcel of what we would call double fulfillment. What was fulfilled in the Olivet Discourse in Revelation is essentially John's expanded Olivet Discourse, is the prophecy of Jesus Christ that Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed, that the very identity spiritually and sociologically of the Jews would be not just manifestly desecrated, but manifestly destroyed. And what Jesus did in the Olivet Discourse is he looked back at what happened under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the Old Testament Antichrist, to prophesy what was going to happen when the beast and the woman who rode the beast would persecute the body of Christ, in fact, try to stamp it out. It was located in a geographic location. It hadn't spread throughout the earth. And so Revelation, in essence, is about the beast seeking to destroy the Lamb, or the purified bride of the Lamb. So Jesus, in Matthew 24, in the Olivet Discourse, says, "So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel," let the reader understand. He points back to the Old Testament Antichrist in that sense so that we might know, or his hearers might know, what was going to happen when Jerusalem and the temple were manifestly destroyed.
So the law, like the when Paul writes about the day of the Lord won't come until the coming of the lawless one, like the lawless one was whoever committed the abomination of desolation in the first century.
Yeah, and I think what's really important is to recognize that words and phrases in Scripture are not univocal, they're equivocal. So people oftentimes see the word or read the word coming in Scripture, and then they import into that word the idea of second coming or second appearing of Jesus Christ. But if you read Scripture in light of Scripture, what you see is that the word coming is a judgment term. God comes on clouds and he judges the Egyptians. He comes on clouds and he judges the Babylonians. So coming now is used by Jesus Christ in that sense. He is the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a far greater prophet than them all. He uses the language of the Old Testament prophets and now employs it with respect to what will happen when Jerusalem is destroyed such that it is virtually impossible to detect that a city had ever even existed there. We're coming to the station break. I'll leave it at that. I've written about that in various places, including the Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible says, really says, about the end times and why it matters today. You can find a copy on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember, as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A great surprise when we come back for the final segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Reflecting on the long history of Christianity, the great 20th century writer G.K. Chesterton once wryly noted, "At least five times the faith has to all appearances gone to the dogs. In each of these five cases, it was the dog that died." Chesterton's conclusion underscores why, from the perspective of history, any pronouncements regarding the end of Christianity are wildly premature. In his new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, prominent social critic Dr. Oz Guinness provides a penetrating analysis of why, once again, the Christian faith in the West is going to the dogs. He also provides inspiration and reasons for hope that a powerful renewal is still possible. To receive your copy of Renaissance, as our appreciation for your financial support,
simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness notes that after a half a millennium of dominance, the West is being eclipsed in the global era. The United States, as the lead society in the West, stands on the verge of relative, if not absolute, decline. Guinness sadly but soberly concludes that much of the Christian church in both Europe and North America is in a sorry state of weakness, confusion, unfaithfulness, and cultural captivity. Is there a reasonable hope for a turnaround in the midst of these troubling trends? A resounding yes is his conclusion, as he shows why the gospel is the most powerful force in history. To receive your copy of Renaissance, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. If you're feeling that a good number of vital signs in Western civilization are seriously declining, you're not alone. Troubling signals of a potentially dark future are increasing daily. In Oz Guinness's new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, you'll gain vital insights into the massive challenges now facing Christianity and why another renaissance is both needed and possible today. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Special treat for all of our listeners. Dr. Larry Johnston, the Executive Vice President and Chief Advancement Officer for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And the reason I want to talk to him in this segment has to do with 12 disciples transforming the face of history and a recognition that that transformative power is what must be understood once again in our epoch of time. We have been called by Almighty God to be sanctified makers of history. if you will, Daniels in our generation, fearless, fruitful, led by the Spirit of God Almighty, to be catalytic in an awakening that is genuinely global in perspective. So when you think of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, we have, by God's grace, had a significant impact in the West, but it has never been limited to the West. But today we stand on the threshold of global tipping points that have to do with titanic shifts of civilization. The gospel has made, as it were, an awakening possible in the global South. As a result, literally multiplied millions of people are coming to faith in Christ. But those people so often are like tumbleweed. They have no root structure, and they desperately need the resources of the Christian Research Institute. So, Larry, we have two tasks at hand. One is, as Oz Guinness says in Renaissance, to revive or restore a church that has grown cold in the West, and that has happened twice before, so revival is possible, but also to arm missionaries on the ground in the global South who desperately need the resources, the ammunition that we can provide them as a Christian Research Institute.
Yes, and given what is at stake, woe unto us and woe unto future generations should we fail to rise to the occasion. There is a stewardship at hand of a Kairos moment where we have the opportunity to literally bend the arc of history, to recognize that at our current pace and given current trends, there are few things to be optimistic about in terms of the direction of those trends. I am sometimes asked, given what you see of the global landscape, are you optimistic? My response to that is yes and no. Believing that optimism is grounded in evidence, the truth be told, I'm more optimistic about the global South given the vitality of what's happening there. Am I optimistic about the future of the church in the West? To be utterly candid, I would have to say no. I'm not optimistic, but I am always hopeful. The reason being, I know what a sufficient number of determined people with a compelling vision, walking with the Spirit of God and standing for truth can do. They can change history. But for those who may be listening who think that the outcome is all up to God and that we have little role to play in the equation, I would have to ask them, what translation of the Bible are you reading? I cannot find that posture in any of my Bibles.
I'm thinking right now about the Apostle Paul. He was having a very fruitful ministry in Asia. And then the Spirit of God moved, and as a result, he has a Macedonian call. The very next day, he responds to the call, gets on a ship. The wind of the Spirit blows that ship, as it were, to Philippi, chief of the Macedonian territories. He encounters Lydia, and she becomes the first convert in Western civilization. And Western civilization, in the end, has been the most powerful transforming force for the gospel in history. In some sense, we are now sensing the move of the Spirit to do something significant. We call it a global initiative. Speak about the difference between simply mission and measurable outcomes and a move of the Holy Spirit?
I think it would be a serious error to dismiss the relevance or the importance of having a clear sense of mission, or of failing to grasp the importance of measures. While some can get wrapped around the axle, as it were, of modern management fads and swallow hook, line, and sinker some concepts and tools without really understanding their relevance, why is it so important to understand a mission? Well, as the joke goes, if you don't truly understand your mission and your purpose, you run the risk of being like the Jehovah's Witness who became a Unitarian and continued to go door to door for no apparent reason. It is important to know what your mission is. But in terms of measures, God keeps books. In the parable of the talents, things are measured. In the parable of the sower, things are measured. The thing that we need to grasp is that just as the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, if we think that we can get by following current management fads without having the power of the Holy Spirit driving what we do, we're delusional.
We are in the midst of a global initiative, which means that we believe very strongly that God has called us to enlarge the place of our tent, to stretch our tent curtains wide, to not hold back, to lengthen our cords, but also to strengthen the stakes. What happens if we do not strengthen the stakes at home, which means asking people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth?
Well, as you well know, one of the things that we are investing a great deal of time and attention to is achieving strategic organizational alignment around the sheer magnitude of the vision that we are now pursuing. And a part of the magnitude of the vision is considering that God may indeed be calling CRI and those who support CRI at this pivotal moment in global history to be the most significant movement in the history of apologetics. The driving force behind that for me is not doing it just because big is cool, but because the magnitude of the challenge in the West and the opportunities in the global South are such that woe unto us if our initiatives are not commensurate with the size of the task.
Talk directly, if you will, to those people listening in. I mean, this radio broadcast is a very personal medium. It is a way in which we communicate, even though it's electronic. It's still very personal. Talk to the person listening in that may have some of the Lord's resources that can be invested not in this ministry, but through this ministry into the lives of real people around the world.
Well, as someone who has granddaughters who are now very much a concern and a source of joy in my life, I anticipate the day, not knowing for certain what the outcome will be of this global battle that we are engaged in. I want to know that should the day come when they would say, "Papa, what did you do in the Great War?" I want to be able to say, "I gave it everything that I had." I know that we have people out there who are wrestling with how might God use me in this war. He can use you by standing with CRI in being a force to tip the trajectory of global history. One person can make a difference. I once heard an existentialist say, I only know two things with absolute certainty. One is that one day I will be dead. The other thing I know with absolute certainty is that I am not dead now. And the really critical issue is, what will I do between those two points of time? I want to be an agent of change for the kingdom. Woe unto me if I let this strategic window of opportunity pass without giving it my best shot.
Two ways that people can support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. One is by giving a gift. The other is by becoming a monthly support team member.
They can indeed, and I strongly encourage people, if they indeed want to make a difference, if you're sitting there now thinking, I want my life to count in making a change, CRI can help you make that change. Stand with us. We all have the opportunity to play a significant role now. People can make a difference both by giving and by seriously praying. I am persuaded that prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. And there's not a day that passes that I don't pray for CRI before I engage in working for CRI. It is not one or the other, it is both. Help us, saints, those of you who are listening, pray and give.
And when you give all this month, we'll forward you a copy of Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, by my good friend Oz Guinness, who is a prophetic voice to our generation. You can access Renaissance on the web at equip.org for your gift, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And please do remember, prayer is firing the winning shot. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Western cultural elites have disregarded God for more than two centuries, but now, in the early 21st century, Dr. Oz Guinness concludes that their movement from disregard to desecration to decadence is going mainstream, and the United States is only the lead society among those close to the tipping point. Is there genuine hope for societal redemption in the midst of growing decadence? In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness declares a resounding yes. When the gospel is lived out in practice, it is the most powerful force in history, both for individuals and for entire societies. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ.
With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.